Greetings, enthusiasts of the enigmatic and pilgrims of the profound. You've navigated the nebulous realms of the mysterious and arrived at the gateway of our ninth episode of Fireside Folklore with Hades. This is the podcast where we fan the flames of ancient narratives and intriguing folklore, whispered and reverberated from the icy reaches of the Arctic to the sun-drenched sands of the Sahara. Guiding you through these spellbinding sagas, I remain your spectral host, Hades, the ruler of the underworld, your guardian of riddles, and the maestro of the mystical. Accompanying me on this ethereal expedition are my illustrious co-hosts, my dazzling partner Persephone, the goddess of spring, whose shine outshines even the most glittering aurora borealis, and certainly our discerning relative Hermes, the herald of the gods, and indispensable to me, the psychopomp. If that title seems a bit esoteric, Hermes is fundamentally our spiritual guide, leading souls between realms and assisting us in navigating these bewitching stories. Tonight, we embark on a journey into the frozen wilderness of the Inuit to unveil the heartwarming tale of the woman who was kind to insects. This tale, steeped in warmth amidst the cold, teaches us the power of kindness to all living things, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant. So huddle up, let the hypnotic play of the firelight paint mystical shadows, and prepare yourselves for an enthralling voyage into the world of whispered traditions and bewitching folklore. Friends, let the storytelling begin.
Hello, everyone. I'm thrilled to be here with you as we explore a corner of the globe I had never ventured to before.
Yeah, I'll say. I've delivered messages to many places, but never here.
Bleh. It's chilly, but at least it gives me an excuse to use my lightning to make some steaming mugs of hot cocoa.
Ah, Zeus, ever the connoisseur of celestial comfort. Your lightning-stirred cocoa might just be the only brew potent enough to thaw the frost from our tales tonight. As for me, I'll stick to my usual, a piping hot Stygian latte. Now let's embark on this frost-bitten fable, my dear immortals, with cups in hand and minds wide open to the wonders of the wintry world. But first, Hermes, my good man, what fun facts did you learn about the Inuit?
Well, Uncle Hades, the Inuit culture is indeed fascinating and rich with intriguing aspects. Here are three fun facts that I found particularly captivating. 1. Unique language structure. The Inuit language, part of the Eskimo-Aleut language family, is notable for its polysynthetic structure. This means that a single word can contain a lot of information, often equivalent to a full sentence in English. For instance, a single Inuit word can express what would require an entire sentence in English, like a complete action with subjects and objects included. This linguistic feature reflects the efficiency and adaptability necessary in the harsh Arctic environment. 2. Ingenious clothing design. The Inuit are renowned for their exceptional clothing, designed to withstand extreme Arctic conditions. They traditionally used caribou or sealskins, crafting garments such as parkas, pants, and boots. What's remarkable is the level of detail in their designs. For example, they made waterproof seams by precisely stitching and treating the skins. This clothing provided excellent insulation and was crucial for survival in the frigid climate. 3. Rich storytelling tradition. Storytelling is a central pillar of Inuit culture, serving as a means to pass down knowledge, history, and moral lessons across generations. Their stories often feature animals and natural phenomena, imbuing them with human characteristics and supernatural elements. These tales not only entertain but also educate about survival, ethics, and the interconnectedness of all living things in the Arctic environment.
How fascinating. So if we were able to speak the language of the Inuit people, then we might be able to get through this podcast in 30 seconds.
That's the spirit, Hades. Though if we were to condense our words Inuit style, I worry Persephone's spring might come and go in a single syllable.
I suppose we can't have that, can we? Now let us begin our tale, The Woman Who Was Kind to Insects. For this story, we'll be joined by Hestia, who will be playing our kindly woman, Demeter and Apollo playing tribespeople, Ares playing the tribe's chief, Athena playing the role of the insects, Dionysus playing the role of the fox, and Artemis playing the role of the woman, transformed. A long time ago, in the frigid country of the Inuit people, there was a particularly harsh winter in which hunting was very difficult due to the animals either migrating to warmer regions or going into hibernation. In the particular tribe that this story is about, the chief decided that they would need to find a new place to call home where they could find more abundant food.
If we are to survive, we must move on from here. There is no way we can live on insects alone, and lately that is all we have been able to eat.
Our heroine looked sadly at her fellow tribe members.
I am old and too weak to travel. I shall stay here and spend my final days on the land where I was born and enjoyed my life.
Grandmother, you have been a wise and cherished member of our tribe. Your decision weighs heavily on my heart. I wish there were another way, but the survival of our people must come first. We will carry your spirit with us as we journey.
Are you sure? The journey may be long and hard, but we can help you. You've always been there for us, and it wouldn't be the same without you. Let us face these challenges together.
I say let her stay, if she wishes. The journey ahead is perilous enough without carrying extra burdens. She's made her choice. We must focus on those who are strong enough to make the trek and start anew.
Tension filled the air as the tribe grappled with the reality of leaving one of their own behind. The chief's heart was torn between duty and compassion, but he knew that they would need to move to another area if they were to survive. And so, with many tears and farewells, the tribe began their journey that night, leaving the old woman to her fate.
Though this may become my resting place soon enough, I will not eat any of the insects that dwell here, for all living creatures deserve the sanctity of life.
For weeks, the elderly woman did her best to survive on snow, evergreen needles, and whatever else she could find. She went hungry on many nights, and it was tough for her to sleep due to her rumbling belly. Despite all of this, she maintained her resolve to avoid eating the insects. One evening, as she was walking out into the snow to gather some to drink, she encountered a fox.
I suppose that my time has come. I just hope that this fox is quick about it.
The fox gazed at her for a moment, then pounced. To her horror, it began removing her skin. Yet to her amazement, it caused no pain.
The infirmity of old age is behind you, my dear. It is your reward for sparing the lives of the insects.
The woman looked at her reflection in the icy lake by her hut and was amazed to see that she was young and beautiful.
Oh my, can this be? Am I really young again? Yet even the young will die if there isn't enough food to eat.
Don't worry yourself, friend.
The leader of a troop of ants replied.
You have been good to us by not eating us, so we shall bring you food enough to last the winter. Then, in springtime, you will reunite with your tribe as they will return here. The place they know is their true home.
And so the ants provided her with food to last through the winter. Namely, they found and brought moss, honey, bird eggs, and the occasional piece of meat. Once she was able to reunite with her tribe, she continued to live with them for many years, sharing the wisdom she had gained from her time alone. Her story of kindness and the miraculous transformation became a legend within her tribe, a tale passed down through generations.
That was an excellent story about kindness and perseverance. It's the perfect way to honor Thanksgiving because it reminds us of the core values we celebrate during this holiday. Thanksgiving is a time for gratitude, togetherness, and recognizing the bounty and beauty of what we have, often in the face of hardship. Just as the woman in our story demonstrated unwavering kindness and respect for all life, even in her time of need, we too can express our gratitude and care for others, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant their role may seem in our lives.
Absolutely. This story also teaches us about the power of community and how, when we come together, we can overcome even the most daunting challenges. Thanksgiving is a celebration of community and family, of coming together to share in the harvest and the joys of life, much like how the woman's tribe eventually reunited and shared in the wisdom of her experiences. Furthermore, the transformation of the woman, aided by the creatures she showed kindness to, mirrors the spirit of Thanksgiving, where we reflect on our past, embrace the present, and look forward to a future with hope and renewal. The story of The Woman Who Was Kind to Insects is a beautiful allegory for the Thanksgiving spirit, highlighting themes of kindness, gratitude, community, transformation, and the cyclical nature of life and seasons.
So as we gather around our Thanksgiving tables this year, let us remember the lessons from this tale. Let's be thankful for the small things, the kindness of others, and the strength we gain from being part of a community. May our hearts be as full as our plates this Thanksgiving, filled with the warmth of shared stories and the joy of togetherness. Speaking of gathering around the table, what recipe have you chosen to share, my dear Persephone?
This was tough because the Inuit diet consists of things that our listeners can't get at home. For instance, they eat pickled muktuk, which is whale skin and blubber, and it's a vital source of fat and vitamins in their diet. They also consume a variety of meats like caribou, seal, and walrus, often eating them raw to preserve the nutrients. Another interesting dish is the Arctic char, a fish similar to salmon, which can be eaten dried or smoked. They also rely on berries, like cloudberries and crowberries, during the short summer season for a boost of vitamins. However, I was able to find a staple that our listeners can make at home using very common ingredients. It's called a bannock, which is a dense bread made from frying or baking flour, baking powder, milk, and lard or some other fat. It's very filling and hearty and provides nourishment when food is scarce. Here is what you will need. 2 3/4 cups of flour. 2 teaspoons of baking powder. 1/2 teaspoon salt. 1/4 cup unsalted butter, softened. 1 cup water. Let's get cooking. 1. In a big bowl, whisk together the flour, baking powder, and salt. 2. Use a pastry blender or a fork to mix the butter into the flour. It should look like tiny crumbs. 3. Now, add the water and mix it all up until it's a sticky dough. 4. Sprinkle a little flour on a clean surface and plop your dough on it. Gently knead it. That's like giving it a nice, soft massage, about 8 to 10 times. 5. Pat the dough down to make it about 1/2 inch thick, like a pancake. 6. Ask an adult to help with this part. Heat an electric frying pan to 450 degrees Fahrenheit and lightly grease it. 7. Carefully place your dough in the pan, cover it, and cook for 8 minutes. 8. With a grown-up's help, flip the dough over and cook for another 7 minutes. It should be golden brown and smell amazing. 9. Take it out of the pan, cut it into wedges, and enjoy it hot with a bit of butter. Remember, cooking is more fun and safe when you do it with an adult. Enjoy your homemade bannock and feel proud that you made something so delicious and special. If you have any questions or would like to share any pictures of your bannocks, please email me at Persephone@firesidefolklorewithhades.com.
Thank you for such a tasty recipe, my dear. Now, Zeus, before you make off with my Stygian latte, would you please tell us who is sponsoring our podcast today?
Your Stygian latte? Brother, I wasn't trying to take it from you. I just wanted to reheat it for you.
Humph. Spare me the tall tales. I know you love those Stygian lattes, even when you fervently declare that you don't. Now, please do let us know who's sponsoring us this evening.
Today, we're being sponsored by Frostweave, the clothing line made by Celestial Threads Company, ready for an adventure that transcends the ordinary. Celestial Threads Company presents Frostweave fabric, crafted for the bold at heart. Born from the looms of destiny, each garment is a shield and comfort against the caprices of nature. Be it the icy whispers of the north wind or the sultry sighs of the southern sun, Frostweave responds, adapting to your journey. Cloaked in the blessings of the Moirai, you're not just dressed for the occasion, you're destined to triumph. Frostweave fabric, for the adventurer who dares to defy the elements.
Wow, that's making me want to go on an adventure.
I wonder if they can accommodate oversized individuals. I think Cerberus would look rather dashing in one of these garments, don't you? Now, Brother Zeus, have you got a lightning round for us this evening?
I definitely do. Listeners, here's how this works. I will ask 3 questions about tonight's episode. The first listener to email me at zeus@firesidefolklorewithhades.com with the correct answers will win a $15 gift certificate to REI for all of those Arctic expedition needs. Please put Lightning Round with Zeus, Episode 9, in the subject line and include your first name, or pseudonym, and where you're listening from so we can announce your win on a future episode. Are you ready? Let's go. 1. What did the Inuit traditionally make their clothing from? 2. In The Woman Who Was Kind to Insects, what was her reward for not eating the insects during the harsh winter? 3. What is muktuk?
Well, that's all we have for you tonight, folks. We hope you and your family enjoy a very happy Thanksgiving. Next time, we'll be traveling to Colombia and hear the story of La Madre Monte.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Stay curious.